Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
You know, obviously we brought in Nick, and Nick has been at the top. He's been in at the bottom of the valley. And so now you have what we're declaring as a healthy QB competition, and these guys are very, very competitive, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how it ends up going. But I really think that, for going back to your question with Mitch, that he's going to welcome this challenge, and that he knows too, it's only in fairness that there we could have been better in a lot of different areas, including myself, last year as an offense.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That's Matt Nagy on the Rich Eisen Show. And I've noticed as I just, you know, live on Twitter at times, like, you see these clips from the shows. One of the topics that you'll see from, you know, the sports talk hosts who will never really venture outside of sports is, you know, there's nothing that gets them going like a good QB competition, even though if the competition isn't happening. So people are opining on Foles v. Trubisky, which just cracks me up because, like, Matt Nagy himself has said the competition hasn't begun yet. So I don't really know how appealing that is to a national audience, but it's a little bit of a glimpse, if we ever do get to NFL training camps, Mac, that, like, the Bears will be talked about nationally, maybe a little disproportionately, because it's something that everybody can eat up, the idea of a quarterback bust and an ex-Super Bowl hero. So we're going to get a lot of national takery on Foles v. Trubisky.
I love it. National takery. That works for me. Yes, this is your lemonade, and it's lemonade for guys who aren't in Chicago or give a damn about Chicago, because it's compelling, and Mitch Trubisky is a guy who was a punching bag last year. There were a handful of punching. There always are punching bag quarterbacks. Take your pick. Sam Darnold has been a punching bag from time to time in his young career, and Trubisky has been the same thing. So people are drawn to that argument, and I don't know what it is about suckage that people find appealing, but it almost sounded like there was a little jump in the step of Rich Eisen when he was talking about Trubisky's awful 2019 in the interview with Nagy when we heard some of the cuts yesterday. He's kind of happy to have that as grist for the mill with the head coach on his show.
There's only so many ways you could say Pat Mahomes is awesome or Deshaun Watson is awesome, and Lord knows I've tried to come up with new ways to do both.
Right, we don't care about Jameis Winston, but we love the bag on him, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, hey, by the way, Jameis Winston got LASIK surgery, Mac. He's going to turn it all around.
He can see now.
Yeah, it's just, there's something about it. Like, we can recite busts, right? The guy who becomes average and no one really cares about. There's not a lot of opinions on Derek Carr, right? But you got opinions on Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf. You got opinions on Peyton Manning, Pat Mahomes, and so if Mitch Trubisky turns out to be in that that former category, he's going to be a guy who will be synonymous with draft busts for a long, long time. And I don't think that he's going to be that. Like, I think that Mitch Trubisky will be in the NFL 4 years from now. Like, I don't think he's out of the league. I think another team will take a shot on him once he loses this job to Nick Foles, and there's enough of a ceiling that's been flashed that, like, he'll get a shot to hang around. But he's, as of now, he's closer to being a bust than obviously living up to his draft slot.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to wind up flirting anywhere near top shelf bustage at the position. That's rare air. I mean, Mitch Trubisky's been a starter for a couple of years already. you know, 3 years almost. Almost 3 full years. There were guys drafted in the first round who wound up starting fewer than 5 or 6 NFL games because they were so off the chart bad. One of the all-time worst is Jim Druckenmiller, the kid out of Virginia Tech who was chosen by the 49ers, who was out of the league in 2 years. I mean, there are some stories like that. Those are the ones to me, whether you're drafted second in the first round or 15th in the first round. If you're chosen mid-first round and you're not in football in 3 years, that's way different stuff than we're talking about with Trubisky, who at least, I agree, is going to earn an NFL check for a while if he stays healthy enough, because what he does well is run with the football, and someone will find a use for him as a backup and a guy who they can maybe employ in a gadget capacity somehow. We talked about that yesterday, and I'm really glad you come around to my way of thinking on that. Imagine that, Mitch Trubisky in the slot catching a quick pass from Nick Foles, or the other way around and dashing for a first down when the Bears take on the Lions on opening day.
Well, it didn't take much convincing. I had never given it a moment's thought on the idea that he would become they could use a 2-quarterback system, but maybe Matt Nagy loves a trick play, and you know, maybe it's a little bit of a carrot to Mitch Trubisky he loses out on the quarterback battle to Nick Foles, but keeps him involved, keeps him engaged, keeps his spirits high. Hey, this play is going to be in the game plan occasionally, so you have to game plan in case Nick gets hurt or in case he stinks and we have to bench him, but you also got to stay ready because we could call this play from the 40-yard line that calls for you to throw it deep or whatever the case may be. So I like it. I think that's definitely possible. But apparently, and I have no idea that my guy was doing this, but apparently my old co-host Carrington Harrison, which is a real name of a real person.
Spiegelwood.
Carrington Harrison.
That's it. That's a good Spiegel name.
It very much is. He has filled in and replaced me when I left CBS Sports Radio, and they were not doing that for the weekend guys anymore during this pandemic. But apparently he got some shifts last night, and there was a Bears call. So let's hear the Bears quarterback talk on the national radio last night.
Let's go ahead to Birmingham, Alabama, and let's talk to Buck. Buck, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Give me a team.
That is yes, not Carrington Harrison.
How you doing today, Heather?
Wait. It's not?
No. No. No, it is not. Danny.
Maybe I read my email wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh no.
I know Carrington's a household name and voice. I should have known that right away. I do check out Carrington quite a bit. No.
No, that's the Okay, I will find it. I'm not familiar with this guy's work, but no, that's
I won't bust toss who sent it to me, but in the email that I got, it said it was Carrington.
Okay, it definitely is not. It is definitely the new guy who they host that they hired to do the night show when I think Scott Farrell left. Yeah, because Zach Gelb does.
Cold one. Hey guys, what's going on? It's Scott Farrell. Giving him haymaker.
Yeah, because Zach Gelb does the 6 to 10, and then there's a new guy who does 10P to 2A, and he is also African American, but that is very much not Carrington Harrison. But man, I cannot wait to send him this clip. I'll get the name, but you go ahead and start that back up again, Tanny.
Let's go ahead to Birmingham, Alabama, and let's talk to Buck. Buck, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Give me a team.
Yes, sir. How you doing today? As a man without a team, because, you know, the Raiders left and gone to Vegas, I'm going to be unbiased about it. When you got a Super Bowl MVP quarterback on your team and a snot-knocking defense, the monsters of the midway going to surprise a lot of folks. It's no way that you can't start – you can start Trubisky up there in Chicago with a Super Bowl winning championship quarterback like Nick Foles. Man, let me tell you, what Trubisky did to the Chicago Bears, he needed to be run out of town on the reel. Man, the number one defense, he killed the defense. Now, on another note.
Before you move on, do you have confidence in a Matt Nagy? Who this is a guy who last year says, yeah, I didn't want to play my starters, but in the preseason this year, I'm going to. I mean, it's kind of tricky statement there.
He's the coach. That's the coach, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, he's not on the field.
Not on the field, but last year he decides who's on the field. Last season, he said, I'm not going
to
put my –
He's going to have to play that starting quarter. The Chicago fan
Buck, do you listen or do you just talk? Which one, Buck?
Both. Go ahead.
Thank you. Let's do one at a time here, Buck.
And then I met Buck.
The manliest name ever. I am Buck. I am Buck, and I like a snot-knocking defense. And they got it in Chicago.
Oh, it's so good on so many levels. He goes by JR Sports Brief. That is the new host of the night show at CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, God.
Yeah, JR Jackson is his name. Very much not Carrington Harrison, but also black. So I could see how someone was confused.
Wait, I think I have another clip of Carrington Harrison here.
Getting back to you and these damn Chicago Bulls.
Oh, my God. I'm dying. Oh, man. That's amazing. We will not bus toss you sent that to Tanny. That is really incredible.
But content nonetheless, am I right?
Yeah, content nonetheless in a much better way. That is some good old-fashioned fun.
This very unique Chicago sports situation.
Yeah, well, I got to be honest, I barely was listening to good old Buck's points about the Chicago Bears.
Why would Buck bail on the Raiders? He's in the South, right? He said he's calling from Alabama.
Yes, right? That's what he said. Yes.
Okay, he's in Alabama and he's a Raiders fan, but they're leaving and they're moving to Vegas, so he's abandoning the Raiders. What? That makes no sense. What? Unless he's from Oakland, I guess, but he says he's in Alabama. He's in Alabama.
Right. He could have been a Bay Area guy who then moved to Alabama, and so then he's loyal to Oakland instead of the Raiders themselves. But, you know, Mac, here's my experience with doing national radio and taking all of those calls. You don't really want to ask too many follow-up questions.
Yeah, national radio sucks.
Yes and no. It sucks with all of those calls. Like if you have to take calls, it sucks. I don't mind. I like the freedom to sometimes spray to more fields, but I'd certainly prefer local. But yeah, in that format, it was it could be mind numbing from times. Jay in Alaska, you're next on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim in Fresno, thanks for calling.
And I remember the first meeting I had with one of the suits when I got to Bristol for my first weekend of, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them. So I was trying to prove to them to get a job here locally that I'm not absolutely out of my mind. So I did the weekend stuff in the evening, Saturday and Sunday nights. And I sit down with the suit and he says, I never want to hear one of my hosts ask a caller for his opinion. We're ESPN. We give our audience their opinions. Mm. And I wanted to grab the wastebasket in his office and throw up in it after hearing that. And it only took a weekend or so. I think, man, there is zero fraternity about this generic national sports talk. I'd rather have gone to Boston or Detroit or Cincinnati for a weekend and talk with Bengals fans about their draft wants, because it's communal. It's their... They're teams in their town. There's commonality there. There is nothing that makes a national audience feel. At least I didn't experience that as a host. It was.
Yeah,
not...
you know, it's there's a few exceptions to what you're saying, but for the most part, you're 100% right. Like Jim Rome, not my cup of tea, but his fans absolutely consider themselves, you know, they're clones. They're in the jungle. There's a community about it. When he would do, you know, remote appearances, he'd pack theaters for remotes when he would show up all over the country. He doesn't really do it anymore, but this was years and years ago. He could take that show on the road and put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people into places. And there was that community with that show. I think the Dan Lebatard show nowadays has that. That, for my money, is by far the best national radio show going right now. But for the most part, you know, 90% of them, I agree agree with you. It is one-way sports talk. There's not even text line. There's not social media interaction. Some of them take calls, but for the most part, it's very one-way.
Sermon on the Mount. Jim Rome, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what he's accomplished in the business. Like you, he never has been my flavor, and I don't find anything about him likable. I would never want to spend a minute sitting at a bar or play a round of golf with that guy. He strikes me as a complete putt stake.
He once said Notre Dame should change their name to pot because they always get smoked in bowls. That made me laugh.
Either a bag or just playing one on the radio.
He's made me laugh a time or two. I have to admit, when he was talking,
I'm just saying. Like sometimes his writers come up with good lines.
So somebody was not gaining entrance into the Soccer Hall of Fame and was upset about it, and he said, "What exactly is in the Soccer Hall of Fame? A minivan full of Capri Sun?"
Club, Reuben, French dip, tuna melt, peanut butter and jelly, but not a hot dog. It's not a sando. I'm Jim Rome.
That's too authoritative. It's too, nothing about it works for me. But, you know, that's why there's vanilla, that's why there's chocolate. Ooh, onions.
Thanks, Swirsk. I remember when I was, like, starting out and looking for jobs and being on the job forums and stuff like that, you know, every few months there would be a posting for a writer for the Jim Rome Show. And I was like, what? He has a... You know, when you do those shows and you have so many people, like, we're lucky, we have two great producers, and you always have a third who's helping out, and, you know, with our guy Herb Lawrence. But, like, it's some of these shows, you know, the Dan Le Batard show, they got 9-10 different producers on the show. Jim Rome has a stable of writers. Like, the amount of resources that some of those national shows have, I wouldn't apply those resources in the way that Rome does with the staff of writers, but it's hard to even compare what we're doing to what they're doing.
Danny, I mean, to undermine Bears fans who want a run game, like, you can't write that. Writers can't write that. That's all 100% authentic.
That's true. That's true. I come up with my own material, Danny. Thank you very much. Again, you guys saw right through me how I asked that question to Matt Nagy. That's true. But, yeah, man, that's not Carrington Harrison. That is the JR Sports Brief, JR Jackson, the new night host at CBS Sports Radio. Haven't had much opportunity to sample his work. Sounds like a hell of a guy. Congratulations on taking those calls from Bama. Better you than me.
JR Sports Brief. What a stage name. What a handle. I'm Ted Champion reporting from the big game.
We have Evan Drylik coming up. He's been at the forefront of all of the reporting on the baseball mess with the players and the owners. He's done some really good exclusive stuff over at The Athletic. He'll join us at 5 o'clock. But I think Mac took the plunge into RV land. Want to hear about it coming up on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I can't keep all my onions in a row here.
Why would you want to? You want to have as many onions in a row as you possibly can, as this segment is brought to you by Lindholm Roofing. Evan Drellick from The Athletic has been reporting on players v. owners over at The Athletic. He's had a lot of exclusive stuff with him and Ken Rosenthal. He'll join us at 5 o'clock for the latest, and I will run my theory past him that the owners actually don't want a deal. But you're going to be going somewhere soon, Mac, and you're going by way of RV, correct?
Yes, the RV business is one of the few booming right now because of the pandemic. So many people are afraid to get on an airplane right now. RV rentals and RV sales have been very, very strong in recent weeks, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. I've never traveled across the country in an RV, but it's often been my want to do so. So during this extraordinary time, I'm going to take advantage of that very, very soon. I'm heading west in a rental. I picked out my model and did all the paperwork today from Terry's RVs out in Frankfurt. And big thanks to David and everybody on the staff for just being real nice and helpful with me, because this is something I'm going to wind up getting one sometime down the road. And I'm not talking about a stupidly, I'm going to spend probably what you spent on your car on an RV purchase. And so it's not like I'm going to spend a ton of money on it. I don't have it to spend on it, but I want to travel across the country with my son Patrick. For those of you who don't know, he's 26 and he's autistic, and he doesn't do typical things my others do when I take my other boys on vacation, like fishing or golf or something like that. So we will be companions. We're going to go to Phoenix by way of Denver, and I'm going to spend a couple days in the Denver area. I have not picked my location yet, but I have spent zero time in the Rocky Mountains or anywhere out there. The only time I've been to Denver is to pass through the airport. That's it. I've never spent a day in Denver. I've never been outside in Denver, only in the airport. So I want to see Colorado for a few days and then continue to see my little brother for a few days out in Phoenix. I think I'm scrapping golf, because the way I have felt since getting off the course yesterday at 1 o'clock, no effing way I want to be doing 500 miles the next day in an hour, or even 2 days later, because it's going to take me a week to unfurl my spinal column from this sort of thing. But I'm excited about it. Those who I've talked to who have RVs, or, you know, they love it. I mean, they swear by it. There is, just as there is with boats, a very high, you know, remorse rate. Some people, you can get them used fast, because some people find they don't use them a fraction as much as they thought they were going to, and they wind up just trying to get out from underneath payments. You say, yeah, I'm going to eat some money here, and I'll sell this $75,000 RV for $50,000 and be done with it. So that's what most RV buyers do. They purchase something that is gently used, and that makes the most sense. I am just stoked about it. I've never done this. I'm so excited about it. I just purchased an RV road atlas, which has more than 3,500 locations across the country where they have RV-friendly campgrounds where you can hook up electrically and use water and things like that. And I've rented RVs before and had a few comps along the way, too. Lucky enough to have that a few years ago. So I know how to do all that sort of stuff. I got no help with driving, so I'm not going to try to be a hero and punch out stupidly long legs. I'm going to probably stop every 400 miles, and I will know in advance where I'm going to, because I'm going to put almost 4,000 miles on that puppy over 10 days.
That's so. What I was going to ask, over 10 days, so that's the plan?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It'll be 10 days. I'm pretty sure we're leaving Monday the 8th, and we'll be back probably latter part of the following week, Thursday or Friday. Yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah.
That's a quick trip to go that far.
It is and it isn't. I mean, if if you don't mind the 10 hours, and 10 hours to me behind the wheel is nothing. Some people can't fathom it. I love it.
See, 10 hours to me is not a problem, but then 10 hours the next day would be a
problem. And then the next. Then the next. So, it's 1,700 miles from my house to where I'm going in Arizona.
Yeah, that would be the problem for me. Like, when I would drive to Syracuse or something like that, you do that drive 9.5, 10 hours, like, if good weather and everything like that, not a problem. But I wouldn't want to turn around and come home the next day. So that would be, cause I just would feel like you're not enjoying the places that you are enough, that I would want to spread it out a little bit more. But the state of Colorado is awesome. Like, just someone on the text line is saying Boulder's a really good time, but Denver is one of the fastest growing, cities in the country. Like, so many people around my age moving to Denver. It's just cause it's got everything, the ability to, you know,
smoke weed every day.
Well, yeah, right. You can smoke weed every day, but also
smoke weed every day.
Loves Seattle, and so Denver's a lot like it. So it reminded me of Seattle in a lot of ways. So I think you'll love Denver.
Yeah, it's a big enough city where there's a ton of stuff to do. Like, there's a good restaurant scene. You've got all the pro sports teams. There's concerts. There's comedians that come
through. There's no sports going on, Danny. I don't know if you heard.
No concerts. No.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying why the city is so attractive as a destination. Thank you. Yes. Right now, you will not be able to take advantage of that. But why Denver is exploding is it's got all of the things that a big city offers, but then everything that you could possibly want for an outdoorsy person, right? Hiking and fishing and skiing and everything like that.
Great,
so it's kind
club.
Of like the best of both worlds city.
All right. How you've been to Boulder, you sound like.
I've been to Boulder once. It's an awesome hippie college town in, you know what I mean? It's just gorgeous. It's
how
amazing.
Far off, how far is it from Denver? Because my route is perfect to go west into Denver and then keep going west a little bit more before I head south. Is it crazy far from Denver? Because I'm happy to stay. He wants to go horseback riding. He wants to, you know, do some high. I'm going to spend a few days in Colorado.
It's less than an hour.
Okay, deal.
Yeah, Boulder is very close to Denver.
Okay.
I haven't done that in a long time. I would think you could do it in 50 minutes, something like that. But
I feel like I'm talking to Michael Jordan, a geography major at North Carolina. He knows his Colorado landscape. And Michael, why'd you major in geography? He said, I like to know what things are.
Yeah, I mean, good reason. Been to Denver probably 8 or 10 times in my life. It's a really good time, man. It's a very good city. I could see my in another life. I could have seen myself living in Denver. No question about it.
I hope to feel similarly when I get there because I've heard a lot of good things about it. And I spent a little time there and a little time in Boulder. And a lot of you know, are suggesting driving tips for the RV. Thank you. I appreciate that. Those are always good to have reminders. I became a better driver when I purchased a boat 7 years ago, an 18-foot fishing boat, which with a trailer tongue is bringing another 20. Yeah, I got 24 feet behind the bumper of my truck. So that has made me a better driver. And I am well-versed in the angles of turning. It's much different. It takes a little bit of getting used to. The backing up is with a boat, it's more challenging than an RV, I found. But happy to do it, excited about it. I think it's going to be great. And Patrick, of course, has been counting down the days. And he's very OCD about his schedule. So he'll ask me tonight when I get him a little bit later, when are we going to Colorado? When are we going to Arizona? He'll want to know the schedule, and he already wants to start shopping for it. He's already picking out his Cheez-Its flavors and his favorite movies. Yeah, I mean, we're a week and a half out, and he's already wanting to pack. I love that about him.
That sounds like me before one of my baseball trips. I'm the same way.
What's your go-to Cheez-It flavor, Danny?
Oh, well, right now I'm very much into not the Cheez-Its, but the Boar's Head horseradish cheddar, Mac. Oh, delicious.
I'm a fan of Boar's Head products. I've not had their horseradish cheddar, above replacement value cheddar, you'd suggest?
Oh, very high, yeah.
How is Patrick on long car rides?
He loves them.
Loves
them. Yeah, because he can sit on his rear and eat. Yeah, he loves it. He loves music and he loves movies. And we've got a I think there's a 40-inch TV that you can see from the cab of the truck. So we're in real good shape.
That's good. And I would say about your golf, man, don't give up on it just because the first round of the year has you feeling like this the next day. My first round of the year, we played on Sunday, and I still felt it in my hamstrings the following Thursday. It was absolutely humiliating. But the second round, little sore the next day, playing my third round of the season this Saturday. I'm hoping that by Sunday evening I won't feel a thing. So don't quit on 18 just yet.
No, not going to. Thanks for the encouragement. Anybody like you or me who has chronic lower back pain knows how golf can be your biggest enemy. And being the architect of our own behaviors, we're in charge here. I'm the one who hasn't been doing any strength training in my core areas, and that's what causes. I'm going to have struggles regardless, but minimize them by strengthening yourself and stretching the hamstrings, and stretching more than I do. And that's the plan I have, and I'm putting it into effect. Today's like my sixth day of some pretty serious behavior modification and doing some negative behavior replacement techniques to minimize seven or eight things I do that aren't really good for me, and a couple of things that I just don't do, period, that would be good for me if I did them. And those, when you can add those to the replacement pile, you know, instead of having a cigarette, have a piece of fruit. All right, I'm doing two things right. I'm getting my sweet fix, but not eating candy. I'm having fruit, and I'm not having a cigarette. So there's two wins right there. Not been perfect, but I've been pretty damn good at it, and I'm feeling pretty good in relatively short order. I think it's mostly the emotional charge of the freshness of a program like that, and also the freshness of these trips that I got planned. It's kind of just very, very excited about it. I'm very happy when I'm on the road, which is probably not a very good psychological thing. What does that say about people when they're happiest on the road? Someone suggested to me that means there's something that isn't quite right where you are, that you're potentially running away from your problems. And I think to a large degree, that has been true in my life. It's not an across-the-board rule. Hey, Max on the road, something must be. No, that's not necessarily an indicator. But I think that wanderlust often has been sparked by some on the other uncertainties, whether they're, you know, financial or relationship, whatever they are with me or anybody else. I mean, just I am happy when I've got a bag packed and I'm seeing things for the first time and spending time with the people I love spending time with, whether it's my sons or my wife or my buddies.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's got to be some sort of happy medium there, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with enjoying vacation and being on the move, and so I don't know that I would necessarily go down that psychological profile the entire time. Everybody likes a change of scenery and vacations, and you know, don't want your feet to grow into the ground and just be stuck in one place and that sort of thing. So, but you've also always said you like job hopping and all of that. But you've been in your house a long time. You've been with your current wife for a long time. You're not as nomadic as sometimes I think you beat yourself up for being, I guess.
Well, when I hear guys celebrating 25 years at a radio station, I think, man, that's an incredible run for Bernstein or anybody else who stays in one place for 25 years. And even if given complete at ease with the work environment, I don't think I could do it, because I didn't have that. When I jumped, there was something up that I wanted to get away from. The first time, I didn't like the station's changes in 1999, and in 2000, I decided to pick up stakes and go elsewhere. Didn't like the way the station sounded. Didn't like the way my show sounded. Couldn't do anything about it. Asked repeatedly for them to make some changes with it so I could conclude my contract. Offered to even do overnights just to finish it, and they kept saying no, 4 to 8 with Jigs, 4 to 8 with Jigs. And finally, one Monday, I came in October of 00 and said, that's it, I'm out. and never regretted it. You know, whether I've took a financial hit along the way waiting for that next gig a few times or not, I like to keep my feet shuffling, especially if it ain't a great culture. And there have been times when it hasn't been. But guys who can turn their cheek and grind it out through that stuff and not be bothered by it, I admire that. I wish I had more of that in me. But anyway, I don't know how we got here, but we did.
Replacement, being on the road, replacing cigarettes with fruit. I don't know. So you're 6 days into the program? Because you started it when I was gone. I think you talked about it with Grody a little bit last week. It's good. It's good to hear that you're staying committed to it and feeling good, man. That's a good thing.
It's about time.
Of course.
I had a cardiologist ask me a few years ago. Not my current cardiologist. I'm glad Sherry's not listening when you refer to her as the current wife. She's on a conference call with a deposition right now. She hates that term. I always thought it was kind of funny and also accurate. But
your cardiologist at the time.
Yeah, my cardiologist at the time, Wilbur Due, said, how long do you think you're going to be lucky? How long? You know, do you think you're just going to keep dodging bullets? You got a mild condition. And you smoke and you don't exercise. You're active, but you don't exercise. Your blood sugar is a little bit high. You ain't going to get away with that forever. And I have pushed the envelope, not to a stupidly high degree. I mean, I haven't been what you would describe as obese in more than 20 years, but you know, I've certainly enjoyed my life and enjoyed the fine things that that, you know, food offers and other things that aren't always healthy for me. But yeah, it's time to reel it in a little bit. And that doesn't mean, you know, complete abstinence.
Moderation.
Moderation. Yeah. Yeah. It's a halving program. I can have things in half the amount. Have half of that pint of Ben and Jerry's. It can be done. I've learned. I didn't think it was possible. It is.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it is possible. Ben and Jerry's, so damn good. And they just launched a new flavor. So
what is it?
It's something in conjunction with a new Steve Carell project. It's like To the Moon or Out of This Moon or Out of This World or something like that, but going to be in stores soon. I saw a piece on it on the local news, and they literally launched it into orbit. They put it up in one of those like weather balloons. It went 20 miles above the Earth's atmosphere as the little publicity stunt for the new thing. I don't know what the flavor is, but those potheads over at Ben and Jerry's, Mac, they're always coming up with something new and delicious.
Bless them. As
I love those guys.
Yeah, as played in the movie City Slickers, the guys who went on the cattle drive.
Yes.
That's supposed
they know
to be
exactly
Ben
what
Jerry.
Flavor goes with every meal.
The best $3 I ever spent. It was such a great $3 ticket to tour the Ben and Jerry's plant in Vermont. I went a second time 4 days later. I'm not kidding.
Moderation.
They make two flavors a day. Yeah, well, this is 07. They make two flavors a day, and you get fresh out of the vats samples of both, and they show you a one-hour video of how it all happened. They take you through a tour of the factory. They have a discontinued flavors graveyard. It is a lot of fun. I had a blast. We drove about an hour and a half from where we were staying at a resort in Vermont, and I said, you know what? It's a beautiful drive. Let's go for an ice cream. We don't have to do the tour again, but let's pay the $3 and go in and get an ice cream today. So that's what we did.
Evan Drellich will join us at 5 o'clock for the latest on baseball's labor negotiations. But coming up next, a music birthday allows us to play a favorite bit of audio of Tanny and mine coming up on The Score.
Born in the bayou, Creedence Clearwater.
Welcome back. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score, the latest on the baseball negotiations with a reporter who's been covering it all at 5 o'clock. But happy 75th birthday, Mac, to John Fogerty.
Yeah, Dave Wonstead is a huge fan of Creedence Clearwater Revival. You tell him you're listening to CCR on a barbecue at a Sunday afternoon, and he'll shoot you a text back, and it'll say, bang, born.
He's a Cajun.
He's a Cajun. Loves his Cajuns. I am I'm a fan. Hey, you're right. Happy birthday. John Fogerty is 75 today, finally starting to show some miles. We had him in the studio back on Belmont Avenue 25-ish years ago. And Terry Bores, my partner, was a huge, at the time, was a huge CCR fan. And it was one of the most awkward, yet it, because it wasn't on me, it was funny. I never got, you know, uptight about it. It was one of the most awkward interview experiences I've ever known. Fogerty was there to do something with XRT, and we told the producers, you know, hey, Terry loves this guy. Get him to pop by just for 5 minutes if he doesn't mind. And he said he told the producers he's got all the time in the world because his show didn't start until 8 o'clock, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So Fogerty sits between us in the phone booth we call the studio, and all Terry did was gaze at him and tell him how attractive he still is and how ruggedly handsome he still is. I'm not kidding. He had very little he wanted to know. He just wanted to sit there, and Fogerty looks at me and he's like, is he putting me on? You know, what's points to Terry when Terry's not like, this is getting weird. I don't know. And it was so, and I said, Terry, talk to John. He's right here for you. Pick a song that you like, and he'll tell you what was the inspiration for penning that song. He's just so good looking, though. And that's all he could go to.
I would have thought that would have been you. Like, yeah. But that's good stuff, man. And so Terry was starstruck. Did he have a defense for it afterwards?
I think he just said what you said. He was just kind of starstruck and smitten, sure, by his ruggedly handsome looks, the California native. And, we pressed on. He was just happy to meet him. All Terry really wanted was maybe a picture with him and an autograph. He was so intimidated by the guy. I don't know if intimidated, but in awe of the guy, his brain didn't function during the interview. And I didn't think I needed to do a bunch of research on it. It's one of his favorite bands, right? I know enough about CCR to play along and just run the offense and give Terry lots of shots. And he wasn't having it. So I had to start laughing about it. It's like, Terry, feel free to jump in. We got John in here for your benefit. He's just so handsome. He's just so handsome.
It's just funny, like it's like the athletes who want to be rockers, the rockers want to be actors, the actors want to be athletes thing. Like Terry covers Michael Jordan, totally intimidated by being in the presence of John Fogerty.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird thing. Yeah. But Tanny reminded me that this was a perfect opportunity to play some classic Howard Stern audio with our guys Artie Lang and Norm MacDonald.
I love Bob Uecker.
No, he wouldn't know it from this show.
How do you know Bob Uecker?
Well, that's part of the story.
Yeah, that's part of the story.
Norm did a commercial for light beer.
Okay.
So it was when we were doing the Norm show. So he invited Norm out to spring training in Phoenix, Arizona, and said, look, man, come the out to Arizona, man. You know, he's the guy you hear on the TV.
Yeah, Bob Uecker.
Right, but he's so filthy when he talks. Every other word is unbelievable.
Right.
And he's one of the funniest guys I've ever met. And it's the funniest 24-hour period I've ever spent. We played a round of golf with Bob Uecker, and he let us sit in the booth to listen to him announce a Brewer-Cub game. Okay?
Right.
Now, he had a cough button. You know, if you're going to cough, you hit the cough button, right, and you're not on the air.
Sure.
So, from what I remember, Norm might not remember this because he's friends with Bob Uecker, but anyway, Uecker would be announcing the baseball game.
Right.
And like a jazz musician, it was unbelievable. If he saw a really hot chick in the crowd, he would hit the cough button,
right,
and say something filthy about her, then go right back to announcing the game. It was like magic. So
unbelievable. You think that's a high-risk thing to be doing. That's like walking the high wire.
He would say, like this. He'd go, here's the 2-2 pitch to Sosa, ground ball to shortstop. Look at the on that, over to first base, 2 down.
And he'd hit the button that quickly. So you must have been out of your mind, entertained. And now when you listen to him, you're wondering, like, during the spaces, what he's saying.
Howard, that's the story I told on Letterman. I cleaned it up.
Right, obviously. Right, right.
And he started using, like, old guy words for the chicks. Like, he'd go, fly ball to center field. God, I'd like to get with that trollop. That's the third out. So the other thing he did, let me tell the one other thing he did, because this is amazing.
Yeah.
He sees John Fogerty.
No, that was what I was going to do.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Let me tell that. Yeah.
All right,
go ahead, Norm.
So he sees John Fogerty, you know, from Creedence Clearwater Revival. So he's like, hey, man, that's that is a rock singer. He goes, but he can get out of the sand trap like nobody's business. I played in a charity tournament with him. So we're like, yeah. We know who John Fogerty is. And he goes, at the seventh inning stretch, I'll have the come up and sing for you.
Fogerty's there with his kid, by the way. He's a big Cub fan. He's here with his 8-year-old son, John Fogerty.
Right. So we're like, no, you don't have to do that.
Right, don't get John Fogerty to sing.
Leave him alone. It's all right. We don't want him singing in front of us.
So then he gets mad at us. He goes, do you even know who John Fogerty is? So we go, yeah. He did Creedence Clearwater Revival. He goes, yeah, he did all that. But anyways.
It is absolutely worth the watch on YouTube. I maintain one of the funniest segments of radio ever. Even with the cursing, I think it translates. And Tanny, I'm glad we did that.
Oh, so glad.
Good stuff.
Every time John Fogerty's mentioned, like, you know, when we talk about him, I'm like, what's the matter? Don't you know who he is? It's a rock and roll singer.
I didn't know Euchre had that as a hobby of his with his microphone and talking about people in the crowd. That was news to me.
Apparently wasn't thrilled that Artie told that story on the Howard Stern show and gave him up a little bit. Apparently that there was a little bit of fallout from that segment from Bob Euchre's camp, but that's okay. That's Artie, hell of a storyteller. That was my radio, you know, early influence, man. It was the Artie Lang Howard Stern era show in the morning, and then Mac Yurko and Harry and B&B in the afternoon. So that's good stuff right there. I love that YouTube clip. Coming up next, Evan Drellich has been covering the owners v. the players and has been doing some real forward-thinking reporting on this. He's had a lot of scoops with Ken Rosenthal over at The Athletic. He'll join us for the latest next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.